Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
On 610 with Pendergast to run the show.
Dive into the mind of former NFL quarterback Clint Sterner.
I was thinking about coming out of the shoot here and telling y'all about my new boots that I got on, but y'all want to talk about puppy chow?
What is that, ostrich?
Hell no, that's python.
It's Sturdy's Daily.
Before we get to that boner.
On The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
We are at Buffalo Wild Wings, 17195 Tomball Parkway South. Come on up, hang out with us. It's up in Katy. Come hang out with us. We got a little Thirsty Thursday going on. Big shout out to Bud Light for making it happen. In fact, we got an HEB gift card.
There you go. Clap it up.
We got an HEB gift card in the next segment. If your name's not in the raffle box over here, make sure you put your name in the raffle box. Got a little HEB gift card there. And we got a big, nice Bud Light cooler over here that we'll be giving away here in the second half of the show as well. So, again, big shout out to Bud Light for making it happen, man. We'll be out on the road every Thursday at a Buffalo Wild Wings. We greatly appreciate everybody that's here today.
Bud Light girls in the building,
yes,
too. There you go.
Indeed. I see you. Cassidy and Lorraine over there doing their thing.
Didn't have their names. Got it.
Yeah, of course you did. That's about par for the course. But come on out, hang out with us. And if you can't make it this time, we'll be at a Buffalo Wild Wings somewhere near you soon. Sooner rather than later. Also, BB's Tex Orleans is where we will be tomorrow. Again, out here in Katy, 406 West Grand Parkway. And there you got Academy gift cards, Sports Radio 610, them collectible glasses. I think it's going to be us this time, man.
No. I think it's in the loop.
Is it in the loop this time?
Yeah, in the loop.
You got it. We got four different shows that we've got the pictures etched into the side of it, along with the sponsors and the station's identity there. So those glasses will be given away. Texans tickets, that's the big one. Texans tickets with the parking pass. And general memorabilia. Last week we had a helmet that was signed by, who was that? Was it Higgins?
Yes.
And so giving away a lot of stuff. Come hang out with us either on a Thirsty Thursday or a Football Friday. And again, today we are at Buffalo Wild Wings up in Katy, Tomball Parkway. And then tomorrow we're at BB's Tex Orleans, West Grand Parkway in Katy as well. What happened? Oh, Lance is up there getting shelled, huh? If you want him, there's no need. Stay right here, man. But it's in the 18th, bottom of 8, bases loaded. Lance McCullers is up there getting shelled.
I just want you to know, Tyler, this guy Rob just walked out, said he had to go pick up the girlfriend. Rob's probably listening right now. He came in my face. He said, McCullers told you all to keep his name out of his mouth. He just got out of the last inning with five pitches. Well, he's up to 24 now, Rob, and he's allowed 2 runs.
Yeah, runs are going across that plate right now.
Gotcha, Rob.
Gotcha. Rob's out there listening going, damn it, I spoke too soon.
This is on you, Rob.
Damn it, I spoke too soon. Also, if you're listening to that Odyssey app, we greatly appreciate it. If not, we want to ask everybody out there to download the Odyssey app, AUDACY. Keep us on your hip and take us everywhere that you go. If you're listening on the AM dial, FM dial, we greatly appreciate that as well. YouTube and Twitch, keep watching. Hit that subscribe button, follow, all that good stuff. We appreciate you. D'Amico Rines, if you are listening on the Odyssey app, or if you do have the Odyssey app, D'Amico Rines spoke to the media. Getting a little closer to game day. We get spicy, D'Amico, getting a little closer to go time. And it was a great, great presser. If you are a Houston Texans fan, you probably got to listen to that. You can use that rewind feature. What time was that, Ron? What time was that we had D'Amico?
We had D'Amico on around 2:40.
Around that 2:40 mark. So you might want to go back and listen to that. It was really good. It'll give you a little insight into several different things that are happening right now with the Texans. And I do want to revisit one of those things. And I don't know if there's a huge conversation to be had around it, but I know as a Texans fan, I like to be informed. And we've been left out in the dark on what the hell's going on with Joe Mixon. And not only are you left out in the dark, but you're also depending on Nick Chubb, who is obviously – getting up there in age, coming off a couple of injuries. I think he's better than most people give him credit for. Maybe has a little more tread left on the tires, and I want to see all about it. But you're still lesser than at the running back position because Joe Mixon is not there. And, again, we've been kind of left in the dark of what's going on with Joe Mixon. Nobody has seen the guy. There's been some reports that clearly flustered D'Amico, flustered Nick Caserio, but we don't know what's going on. Well, I don't know what spurred it today, but somebody decided they were going to ask about Joe Mixon. Here is D'Amico Ryans when he was asked about Joe Mixon's status right now.
Yeah, we're rolling with the guys that are here. That's the main thing. We miss Joe, miss his energy and his enthusiasm and everything that he brought to our team. But we continue to press forward. Hope he's doing well.
What caught me right there, Ron, was the hope he's doing well part. That is a
well kicking it off with we're rolling with the guys we got. And then the dismount of Opie's doing well.
Yeah. I mean, when you compare that to the reports on Braxton Berrios and the reports on Christian Kirk of hey man, I'm not giving too much insight into it, but they're trending in the right direction. They're going to be back with the team sooner rather than later, and we'll keep you updated. We'll keep you updated on their status. You know, whereas with the Joe thing, it seemed like it was a little bit more dismissive, a little bit more of hey, we got guys in the building that can play. And then the dismount was one that left me in a spot about I'm not real sure that the team knows how well Joe Mixon is or isn't doing. Because we're talking about the little bit of information that I've been able to kind of gather on the Joe Mixon front was apparently, obviously, the injury happened outside of team control, right? And it seems like what I've kind of heard is that there were some treatments for that foot injury, again, outside of team control that may not have taken real well. And so anytime you're an organization and a player can't play, you're going to be frustrated. Anytime you're an organization and a player gets injured outside of your – because that's why you hear D'Amico constantly encouraging people to come work out, spend the offseason in Houston, right? We want you here. You can get better here. That's going to rub coaches and general managers the wrong way. And then if you choose to treat that said injury that happened outside the organization – then that's probably not going to sit well either. And then over that same span of time, the organization goes out and signs Nick Chubb. I do wonder, Ron, kind of how the team sits. And I'm not asking you to comment on if you don't want to or even pinpoint of what the team is thinking, but it sure seems like the two parties, the Texans and Joe Mixon, aren't hunky-dory.
Well, Clint, I will comment on this. I know that – and I'm going somewhere with this. I know for me, when I think of power in the organization, I kind of equate that to who's got the best and the most job security. And I think only Cal and Hannah and Miss Janice McNair have more job security than D'Amico Ryans. They're the only people in the organization that I think right now have more job security than them.
Yep.
So that means he is one of the most powerful people in the organization. We all know there is no way in hell. The way if you listen to that, it just seems like, hey man, he really has no involvement in the injury. We clearly know, as he being as powerful as he is in the organization, and Joe Mixon being one of his most important players, he only had 3 Pro Bowlers last year. Joe Mixon was one of them. We all clearly know there's no way that it is just that. Hell, Joe Espada gives us more about players that are in the minors, and we know he ain't got as much power. There is no way that he is just in the, we hope he's doing all right. No, hell, he knows more and is purposefully, you know, being vague on that, which just leads you to, well, what's that about?
Yeah.
Why is he almost acting like he doesn't have any idea? Like, I hope he's doing well.
Yeah.
What does that mean? It's
an interesting situation. And look, as fans, make of it what you will. I just wanted you to hear that. It wasn't your normal injury report of, he's trending in the right direction. We hope to have him back in 4 to 6 weeks kind of deal. Seems like they may be on the outs there. We'll keep you posted on what else.
Weird at the very least.
Yeah. Just for a guy that typically, you know, keeps everything tight to vest and does not change tone or anything, that was an interesting message about Joe Mixon. I'm Clint Stern alongside Ron Ugly. Tyler Milner's back on the ones and twos in the studio. And, again, we are at Buffalo Wild Wings, 17195 Tomball Parkway South. Over in Katy, come on through and hang out with us. Guys, there was one thing, I think, on the defensive side of the football that was a little bit of an issue last week. I think if you listen to D'Amico, it was about I think Kamari Lassiter had his eyes in the backfield one time and got beat over the top for a touchdown, which, by the way, was in a tremendous throw by Matthew Stafford. There's about five or six guys in the league that are making that throw, by the way. That was a big league throw. But nonetheless, you got a DB that's got his eyes in the backfield. And then I think the two that I can specifically remember the last play of the game that put the nail in the coffin, I think Jalen Petrie's eyes were in the backfield. And Ryan, you mentioned a stat yesterday. I think you said you went, when you watched the film, you counted how many times.
Yeah, 9 completions on.
Actual completions.
I didn't even count all the times.
Right.
9 completions with Adams and Puka Nacua being covered by 9 corners.
Yeah. Here's the deal. With the Texans, I think we're going to see the 3 safety set. When I say 3 safety set, I'm talking Bullock in the middle, C.J. Gardner-Johnson, and Jalen Petrie on each side. And you can play all kind of different coverages. You can rotate left or right as the quarterback sees it.
With two linebackers in there instead of.
You can just do a whole lot of disguising. And not just – like a lot of disguising, I think defenses think they're smarter than they are. And in reality, I'm keying one guy, and that guy's going to tell me everything about your defense. The way that D'Amico's got this thing set up with that 3 safety set, I'm not going to call Petrie a nickel defender for the context of this conversation. I'm calling him a safety. You know, you can roll either one of those guys down. You can roll them both down and play man. You can roll them both down and play 3. You can roll one back and play 2 or quarters or vice versa. And I think that's going to be the staple of this defense, and it should be, because you're going to be a pressure. You believe you can stop the run, and you can get pressure with your front 4 and definitely with your front. And so that's the way it should be. And I don't think they're going to venture off from that very often. But I do believe, Ron, that we are going to see Kamari Lassiter at the nickel defender position. In key
you think so?
Yeah, I do. I do. We saw it some last year as the season went along. And I think we're going to see Kamari Lassiter in the slot at that nickel defender position, and then play 2 true safeties, and then let him be the nickel on either side, and use him accordingly.
Well, who comes on the field?
Because Jalen Petrie comes off, and Kamari Lassiter comes on. That absolutely has.
Smith plays outside.
Smith plays outside. Yeah, I think that's. I mean, that's at least that's the guy that they seem to have the most confidence in behind those top 2 corners. But I think that has to happen, Ryan. You just can't, you know, because here's the thing is the Texans are a good enough football team that they're one of the better. I honestly think they're going to be, even with last week's awful showing on offense, I think they're still going to be one of the better top third teams in the league, right? And, you know, when you have that, games are going to come down to one possession a lot of the times.
Yep.
You know, we've heard D'Amico Ryans and Nick Caserio talk about one possession games all the damn time, right? So it's obviously going to happen. And in that situation, he's got to have a better answer, man. You know, if it's an obvious passing situation, he's got to have an answer. If it's an obvious running situation, but you've got a gambler at the play caller position with a veteran quarterback, and he might throw it on 3rd and 7 or 3rd and 8 instead of running and chew the clock, you got to have a better answer. And I don't know that he could have a better answer than Kamari Lassiter. Because let's be honest, you put Kamari Lassiter in Jalen Petrie's place, you get the same instincts. You get the same physicality, right? You just get a better cover guy.
Yeah.
And so I think we see Kamari Lassiter at the nickel defender position to answer the issue that the one I think that was a glaring issue that we saw on the defense when we played the Rams. I think the change up there is Kamari Lassiter at that nickel position. I think we see it.
Yeah. They've got to do something, Clint, because listen, I think the defense was really, really good. In this game, 14 points to the Rams on the road should be enough. But it sucks, and I think CJ's living in a little bit of this. But there are certain spaces that these are the premier players. These are the guys that you got to have that they just don't get for this team to win the way you wanted to. They don't get the chance to have the mistakes like that. They can't have errors.
Yeah.
And I think it is an error to. In important downs, especially as many important downs as they had, to have those easy matchups for a guy like Matthew Stafford to be able to see and go to. And it'll happen again this week. We just heard about the rookie that the Bucs have and Baker Mayfield. It is an error to me on third downs or big plays in the red zone that he knows he has that matchup against Gardner Johnson or Petrie, and you allow that to happen. I just think there are other ways. You don't even have to blitz with your defense because you can get pressure with your guys on the edge.
Yeah.
So they've got to fix that. They cannot yeah. get 5, 6, 7 first downs completed on matchups like that.
Yeah, I agree. The Kamari Lassiter thing is just it's we saw it some last year. I just think we see it. We see it soon.
They've got pieces to do it, right?
You got the weapons to do it. It makes sense. It's a luxury of having those guys. I just see it happening. Ron, did I just see what I think I saw? Did the Astros get complete game?
Yeah, yeah. He had been rolling through. He had, I think, how many, Tyler, I think he had, I saw he had retired maybe 13 in a row.
I don't know. I just
somebody
looked up,
got on him.
I just looked up and the Blue Jays starter was in the handshake line. So
Yep, Kevin Gausman.
Two hits and no runs will do that for you.
Two hits and no runs. Good Jesus. God.
Son good hell,
that is brutal. By the way, while we're on the brutal train here,
Hey, boys,
y'all been to Starbucks lately?
I have not.
Last weekend, I think.
Tyler.
Yes, sir.
They're taking the tipping stuff to a whole nother level.
There you go. Tipping right there. Here you go.
I like taking the tipping to a whole nother level.
Still tipping, huh?
Always.
Get that reference.
Do you know what they did to me? And it takes, I mean, God bless her, so it takes everything I can not to really let the little girl at the window have it, you know? I said, I ordered my order, and I went up there and got to the window. She's going to stick that damn machine out there. She's going to stick that machine out there. Well, I'm going to let you answer one question. I mean, in my car.
You're in the drive-thru.
In the drive-thru.
Stick it out. They got a little pole or something.
I'm gonna let you answer one question. You know what that question was?
What?
How much your ass gonna tip?
Yeah.
2, 5, or 2, whatever it was. It wasn't even a percentage. It's a dollar amount. I said, boy, I tell you, it's done gone to the point of like, it's one thing to flip the screen around and ask me to tip with somebody that when I'm ordering right there. It's another thing when you lean out that window, big head out the window, and you lean the machine in my car. Like, now you look at me dead now.
It has me to smile and not tip.
Oh.
If you want to do that. You want to do me like that?
I couldn't do it. That gal was excited about her job, and I had to. I mean,
if she was good, that's another thing. But,
well, I mean, it was, I mean,
I don't know how long I mean, you were I, there to I, see I mean, how good she was.
Well, last time I checked, the tip wasn't about just being good. I mean, at like taking an order, a tip was being given service. I mean, but now I guess we're just into taking the order and asking for a tip, I guess.
I guess, yeah. All right, as we continue, we'll hook somebody up
they
here.
They're real aggressive, too. They ain't taxing them joints no more. They real aggressive with them.
They get you. A little HEB gift card as we are live here. Tomball Parkway, right across the highway from Willowbrook Mall. Come hang out with us, Buffalo Wild Wings. We'll get you updated. The Astros, there's no update. They've lost. They've lost, and now we'll take a look at what happened today. As Clint said, complete game shutout is what happened to them. Two hits. We'll talk Astros and what they did today coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hubley.
All right, welcome back in as we are live. Congratulations to our first winner. And if you are on, yeah, clap it up. If you are on the way, you could be like Rich and be a winner here today. Coming up in the 5 o'clock hour, we still have, I mean, this cooler it's got a got a bottle opener on it, built into it. It is a serious-ass cooler, courtesy of our friends of Bud Light. So you got a chance to win that in the 5 o'clock hour. All you got to do is sign your name and put it in our raffle box if you're in the building. So come on out and hang out with us. We'll be here till 6 o'clock. We are at Buffalo Wild Wings right off Tomball Parkway, just on the other side of the highway of Willowbrook Mall. So make your way on out here to hang out with us. TVs everywhere. You could have been here to watch the Astros. We'll get to them here in a second. But you can stay in here and watch a really, really good Thursday night football game between Washington and Green Bay. Everything you need right here. Great food, great drinks, great staff here. So come on out and hang out. And Clint is and listeners, and maybe it's a clue, Tyler didn't play any celebration music coming back because
it's the Astros.
Okay, all right. The Astros did win. They have taken the L. And they've lost this series as they lose 6-0. And yeah, I could look and say, all right, Christian Javier, who went 6 innings and gave up 4 earned, as Clint said earlier, it really should read 2 earned. There were 2 plays that should have been made by Christian Walker. Really, be honest, Christian Javier could have made a better throw, but still, that was a very, very not an easy, but a scoop a first baseman in the majors should make, let alone a Gold Glove first baseman. And then, Jesus Sanchez just struggled. They actually credited him with an error, so Lance is his outing doesn't look as bad, but. He and Pena and Altuve, the 3 of them, they combined to give up another run on a pop-up that barely got out of the infield. So, rough day all the way around, Clint. I mean, Javier wasn't that bad, but the offense did what we've seen a lot this year. Only Jeremy Pena and only Carlos Correa got hits, 2 singles, Clint. And Kevin Gausman goes a complete 9. Complete game, 100 pitches, and he beats the Astros 6-0. He gives up 2 hits, 9 strikeouts, 1 walk, Clint. 3 base runners the entire way as the Blue Jays, a team they potentially may see again, just absolutely destroyed them today.
Well, look, no doubt the bats have to be better. No doubt the bats have to be better, but I'm going to tell you, Christian Javier needed a much better outing today, given that it's coming on the heels of Jason Alexander going 7 innings.
Thank God for Jason. Man.
No runs. And so, you know, I think down the stretch here, this thing's going to come down to if they can stay injury-free. Who the third starter is it's going to be Christian Javier and Jason Alexander. And I don't think there's any doubt that Christian Javier has nastier stuff, right? He's more electric, no doubt about it. But, I mean, you get a larger sample size with Jason Alexander – And the further he goes, the bigger that sample size gets, the more impressive it gets. And so if you get an inconsistent Christian Javier that's been there and been under the bright lights in big moments, but it doesn't quite have his A game, and then on the flip side of that, you've got Jason Alexander, who is getting better and better as the season goes along and the more experience that he gets. And so I think for the Astros, that's going to be obviously – you know, what happens with the Mariners? What happens with the Rangers? What does this division look like? Can you keep the lead in the division and watching the race on a day-to-day basis at this point in the season is going to be big. But I think that the story inside there is which pitcher is going to be your third starter and can the bats be consistent enough to give you a real shot to make a run?
Yeah, and as you said, Clint, they now have a half-game lead on the Mariners who – play the Angels tonight, so the Mariners they can get to a tie in the AL West tonight if they're able to beat the Mariners. And then right now, if you look at it, the Rangers they are just 2 games back of the Astros, and yeah, things are tightening up in the West right now. So this was a tough one here for the Astros as they will head back here to Houston, I believe. Or actually, they will head to Atlanta for a weekend series against the Braves. Right. We did get the understanding that Hunter Brown and Framber will pitch in this weekend series with Luis Garcia going down. They will still pitch in this series. They're going to need them big time this weekend. The Braves are not a good baseball team. They have been struggling, and they're out of it. They really, really need to get this thing right now on this weekend.
Well, Luis Garcia was supposed to pitch Sunday, I believe, is what I read. So I don't think they've announced who's gonna take that start yet, but we'll see. Ron, there's got to be a conversation had around, and I'm not saying right now is the time because we're short on it, but there is, and we got a Monday night football game. But damn, I mean, this is Lance McCullers' deal. I mean, this is fine jazz and Sugarland type stuff.
Sugarland. This find yourself.
I mean, can he go back to Sugarland?
I don't think he can go back to Sugarland. I don't know.
Can a guy of that stature go back to Sugarland?
I mean, you can get him. You can call him for an injury and say he's got a rehab start there. But I wouldn't think Tyler. He's got options. I don't know. I don't think he has options. So
time to go make sure that coffee shop's running tip-top.
Clint, I think this is the only ways that he's going to get in games. They're down 4-0 in, you know, the 7th or 8th, and that's
Yeah, look, I understand. I understand.
Low leverage,
I completely understand why he's in the bullpen now and why he's coming in situations where, hey, man, the odds of winning are slim to none and Slim just walked out the door. I get that.
Or we're up by a lot, yeah.
Right. I understand why he is where he is. I mean, the problem is every time he goes out there, it is I mean, it's like not Major League Baseball worthy. It's like when Sean Dubin came back off that deal. I like Dubin. Hell, I bet my mom $5 that he was going to have a better outing. I mean, and then for three straight outings, he went out there and did what Lance has done his last two outings. It's like you can't. There's no defending it.
Yeah, they didn't.
The Astros aren't going to be able to defend.
They had millions of dollars in Sean Dubin, so they were easy.
Right.
They were able. He didn't go to Sugar Land. They DFA'd him.
Right. Well, that's my point. It's like, and it's I watch this now. I'm like, how do you keep this guy on the roster?
Yeah. They're trying to get to the end of the season with him. Like, he's obviously not going to be on the playoff roster if they get there. So, it's the Lance thing. He doesn't have any confidence at all. And Rob, this is your fault. I'll be honest with you. You walked in here and started talking about his five pitches that he got out of the inning.
I'm over here thinking, who the hell is Rob? Oh, Rob, I got you.
Hey, Rob did text back. He said, yeah, this one is on me.
Rob, I hope you picked up your wife. If hey, look, all my ladies out there, if your husband's named Rob and he just picked you up, you can blame this Lance McCullers debacle on him.
Yeah, and help him out. He's struggling. have a good night. All right, coming up, let's hear from the quarterback, C.J. Stroud, as he meets with the media. We'll let you hear what he had to say. That's coming up next right here live on The Drive.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back as we are live here. Clap it up. Let me hear you, baby. There you go. I appreciate you, man. We got people out here having a good time, winning some prizes. Ooh, she taking that beer back. There you go. There you go. Have a good time. Baby, my man over here is taking a beer back while he's doing a little work. I love to see it. No, we're having a good time. Yeah, I'm going to get you. We're having a good time out here. Buffalo Wild Wings near Willowbrook Mall on the other side of the hall highway here right off Tomball Parkway. So come hang out. Have a good time. We'll be here till 6 o'clock. Still got prizes to win here in the 5 o'clock hour. So make your way on out. Let's head to NRG, though, and hear from the quarterback, C.J. Stroud, as he speaks to the media ahead of, I think, one of the biggest games of his in a while for him. Let's hear from C.J.
There's some more. Feel like more, even encouraged that there's some more fixable things that you guys can take a step forward from that game.
Yeah, we looked at the things and, you know, it's, you know, on the top of our mind to fix things. But, you know, there's a lot of good we did, too. So, you know, you don't want to just look down at the floor and feel bad for yourselves. You got to move on and flush it and, you know, not take it light, but also not act like it's the end of the world. So, yeah, it's a little bit of a mixture of both. But I thought we've done a good job of dealing with that, and I thought we had a good practice today. So,
to just take you down memory lane just a little bit, that 2023 game against the Bucks was kind of what catapulted the franchise. But I'm wondering if a lot of guys played well, but I'm wondering if you remember maybe how you were feeling that game. Were you just feeling it that game, or what do you remember about that?
I think they just kept calling my number, you know, and I like that. I like when, like, the pressure's put on, and I thought that game we did a good job of, you know, staying out of bad situations, and, you know, Bobby did a good job that day calling it, and he, you know, we had a lot of good plays up. They're a really good defense. They made plays. It was just back and forth. It was a shootout, so. But yeah, they're a really good team still. Baker's playing some of the best ball he's played. He looks great. He's one of the best quarterbacks in the league. You know, they got a great receiver core, great running backs. Their corners are good. Safeties are good. All around, you know, their D-line's good. So, backers are great. So I think it's another one of those games. Like, it's going to be hopefully not a shootout, but whatever it is, you know, we got to prepare in the right way to just go 1-0 each play. You can't think about it like that, in my opinion. I just think 1-0 every play and then, you know, see what the score says at the end.
Did that game in 2023, did it give you a boost of confidence to know that you could play against a veteran quarterback and go with them, you know, blow for blow and then come out ahead and have a big win like that?
I guess, like, I feel like I kind of felt that way after, like, week one, week two, week three. I think it's just part of the game, you know, it's only I feel like the next game against like a veteran quarterback or like a top guy or top guys is only crazy until you go do it. So like, you know, I think for me, I don't know, I've always tried to just focus on what our team was doing. But yeah, I think it's always dope to go against a top guy in the league and see where you compare. So yeah, I'll be able to do that again this week. But yeah, 2023, that was a big game for me personally, just like fighting back, seeing, you know, like the will to win that some of the guys we even still have on this team have.
To follow up on that, what is kind of like that balance of not, you know, I understand you're going against another good quarterback, and I understand that there's that quote unquote matchup, but also come back to the reality that it's not him on the defense, you're playing against his defense. So, like, what's kind of like that balance of not trying to get too caught up on the one on one matchup? Because football is obviously one on one.
Yeah, I don't get caught up with that. That's more like the media or like the fans or something. Like, I really don't care, to be honest. And with all due respect, like, I last week playing at Stafford was dope, but like you said, it has nothing to do with me. Like, I root my guys on. I think, you know, I try to just do as best as I can to help our defense, especially if they have questions, like, about quarterback play and whatnot. But other than that, like you said, they're not on the defense. So I try not to think about it. But, yeah, I think it is cool, like, when you do beat a top guy, though, like, eventually. And, like, that's a team effort. It's not just me or just the defense or just the offense or just special teams. It's everybody together. So, yeah, I think that's part of it. But, yeah, I don't really think about it like that.
The timing, chemistry, and relationship standpoint, your background with Jarrett Patterson, how much does that help to make it a little bit seamless with Jake Andrews injured?
Yeah, it's great. You know, me and Slime, that's his nickname.
Did you say Slime?
Yeah, I can't say that. I'm going to get fined. Me and J-Pat have done a good job early on in our careers of, like, finding a good relationship on calls, on really just everything, like snaps. He does a good job, you know, of getting the guys where I'm going, getting them going. So I thought, you know, when he stepped in, he did a good job. Of course, we're going to miss Jake, and he was doing a really good job too. So, yeah, just try to do as best I can whatever I have. It sucks. I have a lot of experience with backup centers, and which is not fortunate all the time. But at the same time, I love J-Pat. He's a great player, and he's going to do great for us.
What's the dynamic and collaboration like between quarterback and offensive coordinator after a tough game? And what's it been like the first time around with Nick Caley?
It's good. It's like everything in life. You don't just go out there and sometimes you do, sometimes you don't, but most of the time you don't go out there and just ace it. So there's a communication that you have to have. I think he does a good job asking me a lot of questions. I ask him a lot of questions, so figure it out and, you know, move on.
CJ, how have you been able to, heading into year three, how have you been able to just block out some of the noise and the chatter that goes on even after week one?
Yeah, I don't care, to be honest. I've gotten so used to, like, people loving you when you're up, hating you when you're down. It's just how, you know, like, just people, this entertainment business operates, you know. So I try to think of my value as, like, what God sees me as, my family, my friends, my teammates. And that helps me stay level-headed because, like, I think it's a lie when people say words don't hurt. Like, there's a reason why we go to church and hear a sermon. There's a reason why we like music. There's a reason why, you know, like, we go to see comedians do their thing. We laugh. Like, words do have effect. So, like, for me, I try not to just look at it and, like, try to just stay – like kind of like a horse and like just vision, like tunnel vision. So yeah, I've learned to not love the love or not hate the hate, and it's really helped me. And I try to tell my family, they get all mad and stuff, but, like, you know, at the end of the day, that's everybody's entitled to their opinion, right on to them. But I can control what I can control, and that's, you know, what I do on the field. And everybody, like I said, is entitled to what they think.
You started off by saying fleshing that, you know, the game from last weekend, not taking it too light, but also not making it like it's the end of the world. What's the silver lining to maybe, obviously not the start you wanted to have, but the silver lining to it kind of after the game, you said maybe it's a wake-up call. Is it better to get kind of punched in the mouth early on than later?
What would you say?
I would say early on.
Well, I mean, you kind of answered my question. It's a lot better to get punched in the mouth early than and not fall and hopefully, like, not be too hurt. I don't know, I'm trying to think of boxing. Shout out Crawford.
I'll let you take a Crawford.
Man, come on, dog. I got to. My boy, Trim. But I like Canelo, too, but I'm going with Crawford. But, yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, I think, I don't know, like, what are we going to do, sit around here and cry about it? Like, it is, it's the NFL. It's part of the game. We played really bad, and we still had a chance to win. Like, that shows, I think, to our team that how talented we are and how good we can be. And it's 1 week, and I'm not the person to just give a whole bunch of grace and no truth and a whole bunch of truth and no grace. I'm a little bit of both. So, I don't really know what to say. I think for me, I've been in this team myself. I've been in this position a bunch where everybody thinks you suck and whatever they want to think. Cool, y'all go ahead and do that. We're gonna continue to grind. If we lay an egg again, we're going to get back up. We're going to trust each other. It really doesn't matter what everybody else thinks. So, it takes time to build. You know, like, we've been watching – sorry, I know I'm long-winded, but watching a lot of film of New England back when they were, like, in 2002, 2003, 2004. They didn't – now, of course, they won, but they didn't look like what they did in their strong run right away. And, of course, that's the goal, to get it as quick as possible, but sometimes it's not the reality, so – I'm trying my best to keep our guys' mojo up, and I think we're doing a good job of it.
What are some of the areas that you guys feel like you have to fix from last week going into this week?
Well, we got to help Kells out, man. I think that's my biggest thing personally, and I think for the guys is not giving – what play are you going to call on second and 15, second and 25? And we've had these problems for years, you know, so third and 14, third and 12, like you can't live in that. And we do our coach a discourtesy of that when that's controllable by us. So I think that's a start. Personally, I got to be better just pocket movements and, you know, checking the ball down when I need to check it down. And at the same time, staying aggressive. So, I think we just need to build a rhythm early on better. And I think we'll be better from that.
Nico is a top seven wide receiver in this league, but he's not a selfish wide receiver. What is it like playing with a wide receiver like that who doesn't get mad if he doesn't get the ball thrown his way a ton of time and just shows up every play?
Yeah, I mean, it's great. You know, I like because Nico is that way, but also, like, he demands the ball. He wants the ball, and, you know, it's our job to find ways to get it to him. And I thought we could have, you know, definitely I could have done a better job of getting him the rock when he was open. And I think he's going to show up big time. Every dog has his day, you know, and Nico's a growling at the mouth like a Rottweiler trying to get that ball. And so I'm excited to see. And, I'm always looking for 12, man. That's never a question. So, he'll be all right. Thank you, guys.
How did you feel you used your legs in the first half to move the chains a couple times, led the points? Were you pleased with the way that you did that?
Yeah, I was. I thought I did it when I should have, and thought I made some plays, so I thought it went well.
Is that kind of like when you're in the pocket, you're getting pressured, is there kind of like a balance between hanging in there and trying to find the receiver and use the legs? Is that one of the tougher battles for a quarterback?
Yeah, definitely, you know, because when you don't run, everybody's like, oh, he should have ran, and when you don't throw, he should have threw it. So I'm always wrong. But it's cool, like, it's part of the game. And I love watching it. I think some of the best guys in the league are like Burrow. He does a great job of it. Lamar, I think Lamar is, of course, he's very dynamic running the ball, but he's a pass guy and he does a really good job of sitting in the pocket and only standing when he has to. So, I think, you know, when I watch games around the league, a lot of guys do it well, and I try to just be one of those guys as well.
To follow up on that, which is kind of the challenges of when you're moving around, trying to still keep your eyes downfield, but also trying to feel like, all right, it's time to take off, you know, like, what's just kind of that
about that? Yeah, I think it's the same thing. It's just, like, you can always, you know, try to keep your eyes on the field and make a play. I think that's the start of it, and then when it's not there, take off. But sometimes you just have a feeling, and I think the first game is always instinct, like I kind of told y'all last week. The better you play instinctually and the more you can, you know, trust your training and your habits, your fundamentals of the game, I think, you know, those moments become a little easier. So, yeah. Thank you, guys.
All right, that's quarterback C.J. Stroud as he speaks to the media. A lot there, Clint. We'll look in the 5 o'clock hour to kind of kind of revisit some of the things that he had to say, some of the big things he had to say there as C.J. Stroud right there meets with the media ahead of their game on Monday night against the Bucks. Coming up a little 5 o'clock fire as we continue live here, Buffalo Wild Wings, Tomball Parkway, a little thirsty Thursday. There you go. Go hurry you up one. Go hurry you up one. Do that thing there. All right, come on out and hang out with us. We'll continue right here live on The Drive.